This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. From time to time, we bring you stories of those who've lost their lives in the war in Iraq. And on this day before Thanksgiving, we'd like to bring you three stories from across the country. We'll start in Maryland, which earlier this month lost a total of four young men in a single week. 21-year-old Marine Corporal Dale Berger Jr. was one of them. And Sarah Richards has this profile.
There are two Dales in this story. There are also two wars, separated by decades, brought together under one roof in the town of Port Deposit. Martina Berger is sitting in her kitchen. She's looking at an old photo of her husband, Dale Sr., with her son, Dale Jr.
There, my husband's leaning on Dale because he walks with a walker. He has no balance from the brain damage.
Dale Sr. was a Marine in Vietnam. Though his arm was nearly blown off in an ambush, he made it home alive. But he never recovered. 12 years ago, he suffered brain damage during an operation on that same arm and was left a crippled shell of his former self. His son, Dale Jr., couldn't comprehend why his dad was always so angry.
You know, here's this man who wanted to play ball with him. Now he couldn't do anything, and he became like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. He was so mean, and he just couldn't understand that.
There was, however, one thing both Dales loved. That was the Marines. Dale Jr. dropped out of school. He earned a GED when he was 17, so he could join the Marines. But he went back to Bel Air High School to show off his uniform to his guidance counselor, Rosalind Bennett.
I can still see him so clearly in that Marine uniform and so handsome and so tall and so proud. And I was just as proud of him and touched by the fact that this young man accomplished his dream.
Rance Denton was a friend of Dale's. He said Dale had called home recently to tell his mother, Martina Berger, that he'd been wounded in the arm, just like his father.
The day he got wounded, he'd spoke to Miss Martina and said, "I'm fine, but I'm going back in because my buddies are there," and that's exactly what Dale was always about. Dale was the most selfless person I've ever known in that respect.
5 days later, Berger was killed by a gunshot to the head during the Fallujah operation. Martina Berger says her only son asked that he be buried by his dad.
I guess in life and in death, he wanted to be close to his father.
Dale Berger will be buried on Monday in Arlington National Cemetery in the same section as his father, who died earlier this May. For NPR News, I'm Sarah Richards.
I'm Susan Rosgen in Covington, Louisiana. When word came here that 19-year-old Justin McLeese had been killed in Iraq, the local flower shop started getting dozens of orders for flowers for his family. Last week, Pam Campo was arranging a huge bouquet of yellow roses and dark blue delphinium, Marine Corps blue, for Justin's funeral.
I think the hardest thing about doing something like this is that we all have children. No one thinks they're going to bury their children. It's just a hard thing.
Especially hard for friends and family of Justin McLeese, who say he was the all-around good guy. Justin's mother, Sharon, and his girlfriend, Bethany, and some of the rest of the family sat in their living room, talking about the boy they all loved.
I'd have mothers come up to me before he started dating Bethany, saying, "I wish your son would date my daughter." I mean, he was that kind of kid, and he was just, if you could say, "These are the things I want in a son," it would be exactly the way Justin was.
Justin was a defensive end on the high school football team, the guy who stayed after practice to paint the stripes on the field, the guy his buddies called when they'd gotten their trucks stuck in the mud and needed someone to pull them out, the one who led his fellow Marines in Bible study in the Iraqi desert. He called home a few days before he died.
It was a phone call, and it was very short, and he just said, called and said, "Mom, I'm calling to tell you that you probably won't hear from me for a while. It might be a month." And he said, "I'm got angels with me and God is with me, and I don't want you to worry." He said, "Every time you hear a casualty or wounded, I know how you are. Don't go crazy because it won't be me."
Lance Corporal Justin McLeese had watched the 9/11 attacks on television when he was a junior in high school and decided he wanted to join the Marines as soon as he graduated. When he died a week and a half ago in an explosion in Fallujah, he was 55 days away from coming home. His mom had circled the date on every calendar in the house.
Everybody knew, and we were just praying and praying, and his sister went down to the French Quarter and got a box of hand-rolled cigars for his platoon and sent them. And he said, tell Tara I got them and tell him that that's going to be our victory cigars when we're finished with Fallujah.
Justin McLeese was the only son of an only son, and his family's name died when he died. But at the local flower shop, they're thinking about putting a special Christmas tree in the window this year, with red, white, and blue lights attached to the names of all the young men and women from Louisiana killed in Iraq. The 19th was Justin McLeese. For NPR News, I'm Susan Rosgen.
I'm Rennie McKay in Laramie, Wyoming. 2 days after they buried their youngest child, Bob and Joe Burns sit with their other son, Chris, in the living room. The mantle is covered in flowers, which frame a poster-sized picture of Lance Corporal Kyle Burns in his Marine uniform. Bob Burns remembers the day Kyle was born 20 years ago.
The kid kind of jumped out of Joe. Chris was a bit on the slow side, but he'd come out roaring and never stopped.
In the 2 decades of his life, Bob says his son exerted himself into the world with force, challenging the authority of parents, teachers, and principals. Kyle's issue with rules and authority made his mom, Jo Burns, question his decision to join the Marines. That disagreement caused a significant rift between the two of them, a rift that wasn't resolved until Kyle was leaving for his first tour in Iraq.
Before he actually left, he said, I'm sorry for all the hurt I caused. I mean, he knew we needed to do some healing and stuff, so I mean, it kind of started in the phone call before, but I got so choked up I had to hand the phone to his dad. And not because he was leaving, but because he knew he needed to heal some things in case he didn't come home.
Kyle did come home from that tour, and then he and his mother had a few more chances for what she says were heart-to-heart talks. Joe says Kyle told her, Americans don't know what it's like to live under a dictator.
He said, it's not right, and that's why we're here. You know, and thank God we have our people who have always gone and who have always served and either come home or haven't. Because we can be free.
When Kyle returned for a second tour, he ended up in Al-Anbar province. He died there on Veterans Day. The details of his death are unclear, only that he died due to enemy action. His good friend, John Brooks, says Kyle had a bad feeling about returning to Iraq this time. He even told his friend that he did not expect to make it back home.
The week he died, I had a dream, and I saw him standing there, and I gave him a hug, and he told me everything was going to be okay. And I called my mom crying because it was like, I just dreamt of Kyle. This isn't going to be good.
Following Kyle's death, 3 of his friends who had joined the Marines with him came to his parents' home. 2 of them, Tanner Combs and Raleigh Dunnock, wrote a marching cadence to honor Kyle.
Mrs. Burns, don't you cry. Take that flag and wipe your eyes. He served his country more and more. He gave his life to a glory.
21-year-old Raleigh Dunnock is singing with tears in his eyes. He's set to go to Iraq this summer. He says he's scared, but he knows Kyle will be with him. For NPR News, I'm Rennie McKay in Laramie, Wyoming.